طبعا خاسم البيس بيوت 8B1 يا خقيقة not married cotton. Hashem. Mashiach came.
He did?
Yeah, but he left. Because we're the best shul. The Mishnah. Let's go, the Mishnah. Came from Crown Heights. Mishnah. Okay, Mishnah is discussing again the Karban Chagiga. You have the Karban Chagiga. And you have the carbon oilis, you have the various carbonis, right? So the Mishnah says, now, the carbon chagigas you eat. The carbon oila you burn on the mizbeach. So now the Gemara is going to get very, the Mishnah is going to get very practical. If you have a lot of people to feed, so obviously you need more animals that you could eat. And less carbon oila. If you have less people, so then you can afford to have more oila, more burnt offering, and less eating animals. So the Mishnah says, "Mishi yeshli echlo merubin unachosim muatim." A person that has a lot of dependents to eat, but he has very little property. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, "Mevi shlamim merubim." You bring a lot of carbon shlamim, which are edible, ve'elus muatis and less elus. In fact, the Gemara right away is going to ask, if the guy has no property, how can he bring shlamim? You're saying the guy doesn't have any property; he still has to bring the behemoths. How does he bring them? What happens if a guy owns a lot of property, but there's very few dependents? So now he can't bring karbanis if you're not going to eat them. So what does he do? Maybe elis merubis. Then he brings a lot of carbon elis, and he brings shlomim muatim, a few shlomim. So basically, it's a very simple mishnah. If you have more people that you need to feed, you bring more carbon shlomim. If you have less people that you need to feed, you bring more carbon oila.
How many does each person have to bring already?
Oh, 1 second. Zev is emuit. What happens if you have none of the above? You have few people to eat and everything less. So it says, al zeh nema, concerning this, it says, ish kamat nasyodei. I'm sorry, I skipped. Al zeh nema moshtei kesef. You have to bring, the oila sriya has to be at least worth one silver ma, and the shama chagiga has to be worth at least two silver ma. Meaning, then you go to the minimum, then you go to the basics. You go to the minimum that you're allowed to bring. And then the Mishnah continues and says, what happens, Zev is a merubim. What happens if you have both a lot? You know, you have a lot of property and a lot of people. Over there it says, Ish kamat nasyodei, everyone according to the, what he can give. Kavirkas Hashem alakacha, shenotzen lach, based on the bracha that Hashem gave you. So the Mishnah is saying basically, sometimes you bring the minimal, sometimes you bring the maximum, sometimes you bring in the middle. Well, the Mishnah is very simple, just a very, very practical Mishnah. But the Gemara asks, Shlomim Merubim, how can...
No soccer.
No soccer. I see, you have a Gemara instead of soccer. The Gemara asks, Shlomim Merubim, but you said if he has a lot of dependents, he has to bring a lot of carbon shlomim. The Gemara says, Mehecha Meisa, where could he bring it from? Lastly, he has no property. You just got through saying he has very little resources. So how do you expect him to bring a lot of shlomim if he doesn't have the money? So the Gemara answers, Amr Avchista said, Teifel Umevi Par Godl. What he does is like this. He supplements his money for Meisa Sheni money. If you remember on the other page, we were learning, are you allowed to supplement the animals with Maisa Sheni money? Because the question is, you have to bring Karbanis from your own money. Maisa Sheni is holy money. So the question is, can you bring it or not? So Rav Chista says, if the guy has a little property, you know what he could do? He could take the Maisa money, plus a little bit of his own, buy a big bull, big carbon shlamim, and he'll have enough to feed a lot of people, and it won't cost him a lot of money, because the Maisa Sheni money he has to bring anyway. So he's killing two birds with one stone. That's what Rav Chista answered. So Amalei Rav Sheshis, asked the question, when you have it 8B1 at the end, we're almost coming to 8B2. Amalei Rav Sheshis, said to him, you're not allowed to do that. Hari Amro, we said before in the Gemara, Teiflim Behema Le Behema. You could supplement one animal with another animal. But you can't supplement, the way the Gemara is thinking now, money and money for a big animal. Before in the Gemara there was an argument between Rabbi Yochanan Shlokas, just to refresh everybody's memory very briefly. We learned before in the Gemara that both people say, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokas, that you could supplement. One opinion says you could supplement money to money, meaning Maisa Sheni money, to regular money, to buy a big animal. That means one animal we bought by Maisa money and non-Maisa money. And the other opinion says no. You can only supplement animal to animal. Meaning you could buy one animal with this money and one animal with that money. Right? But Rav Chisda comes along and says now, basically, you could supplement money and money to buy one animal.
Can you buy any type of animal for any kind of korban?
Yeah. Well, not korban shlamim only.
Besides the birds and stuff.
Only korban shlamim. The peace offering that you eat, you could. But one opinion says you can only supplement it with money, to buy one animal. The other opinion says you can supplement animal to animal, but you can't buy one animal with both. So the Gemara asks, my Kamali, what did Rav Sheshis actually ask him? So he says, Ile mehochi Kamali, if you're going to say that this is what he's telling him. Hani amru teiflum behema lebema, that you can only make animal to animal. Avale mois, but not money, to buy a single animal. If that's what he's asking him, for lelemele, he should tell him, ain't teiflum mois to mois, you don't supplement money to money. We're on Chesem at base, in the middle of the page. The Gemara is asking, what is Rav Sheshis' question? Rav Sheshis asks, the Chazal said that you can only make animal to animal. I mean, you could supplement one animal with another animal. One for Maisa money and one for regular money. So the Gemara's question is, if he's basically asking you cannot supplement money, to buy one animal, Maisa money, and regular money, to buy one animal, why didn't he tell him that? That you can't supplement money to money. That's not what he told him. He said to him, Chazal only said you can supplement animal to animal. So why didn't he tell him you're not allowed to supplement money to money?
Could you explain what was supplementing animal to animal?
Okay. You're not the only one. No. The Gemara says as follows. Normally, the Gemara says any obligatory carbon, anytime you have to bring a carbon, you have to bring it from regular money, not money which is holy. You can't bring a carbon from holy money. It has to be what's called chulin.
What's holy money?
Something that's dedicated to...
Something which is dedicated already to the Beis Hamikdash. You can't buy a carbon.
So put the money aside and make it holy.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example, though. There's a din that's called Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni is, every 2 years in a row, beside the tithing you give to the Levi, you have to take 10% of the money that you make in the field. No. And you bring it to Israel, to Yerushalayim. You bring it to Yerushalayim, and you have to spend the money in Yerushalayim. You can buy whatever you want of food. It doesn't even have to be you. You can leave the money there, leave it for other people. That money must be spent in Yerushalayim.
That's 10%, right?
That means you give 10% to the Levi, another 10%, you take the money. Now, officially, you're supposed to take the fruits and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat the fruits. Then the Torah says, what happens if it's too much fruits to carry? Then what you do is, you take, redeem it for money. Now the money becomes holy. Now it's not holy money, but it's holy money because you have to eat it only in Yerushalayim, and the Torah calls it holy. So now the question is, can I buy sacrifices from that money? Okay? Because the Gemara said before, it has to come from chulin. Chulin means regular money that's absolutely not holy. Maisa Sheni money is holy. Because you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. And the Torah uses the word by its kodesh, it's holy. Okay? So the Gemara came to the conclusion before. You could supplement. You can't buy the sacrifice with mice or sheni money, but you could supplement it. Okay? Now there are two opinions before in the Gemara, that Biechen and Eish Lakish, what does supplementing mean? One opinion says, let's say an animal costs $100. You could take $50 mice or sheni money, $50 of your money, and buy one animal with it. So you're not buying it only for mice or sheni money, you're supplementing the money, correct? The other opinion says, you can't supplement money to money to buy one animal. What you could do is, if you need two animals, because you have a lot of people to feed, you need two animals, you could buy one animal from regular money, and one animal from mice or sheni money. Okay? That was the argument before in the Gemara. Okay? Got it? Okay.
Carbon
shlamim. Because when you came to the Beis Hamikdash and the Chag, you had to bring a carbon shlamim. You also had to bring a carbon eila. Okay? So now, that was the Gemara before. Now, our Mishnah said it then. What happens if a guy has a lot of people to feed, okay, and he doesn't have that much money, so he buys more shlamim, which are eaten, and he buys less carbon oila, which is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara asked, that was the Mishnah. So the Gemara asked, if the guy has no money, how could he buy shlamim? He has no money. You just got through saying if the guy has little money, he buys a lot of shlamim. But if he has little money, how could he buy a lot of shlamim? Right? So the Gemara answered, Rav Chisda said, you supplement it. Which he said means, you take mice money, and you take your money, and you buy a big animal, and that's what you have. That's what Rav Chisda said. So Rav Sheish asked him a question, but we said before in the Gemara, you could supplement an animal with an animal for Meiser. For the carbon. So the Gemara asks, what's the question mean? You're telling me that he's saying you can't supplement money and money to buy one animal? Why didn't he say so? He says to him, didn't we learn you could supplement one animal to another animal? Right? Animal to animal means you could buy one animal from Chulin and one animal from Shlamim. Supplementing money means we take two monies together to buy one animal. So he said, why didn't he ask that? So the Gemara says, Alahachi come, and this is what he meant. Alahach Amalei, this is what he told him. Hadi Amru, before we said in the Gemara, Af Teiflin Behema Lebema, you could supplement animal to animal also. Meaning, his question to Rav Chisda was, you're saying you take money and money and buy one animal, but we learned you could also do it animal to animal and buy two animals. So why are you picking one way when you could do it the other way? And right away the Gemara is going to ask, that's neither opinion of before. Before opinions, one said you could supplement animal to animal. One opinion said you could only supplement money to money. But nobody said you could do both. And here Rav Sheish is saying you could really do both. So that's what the Gemara is asking. No, you supplement chulin money with ma'aser sheni money. Okay. You know, the Gemara knows every person had to bring ma'aser sheni. Every guy had a field. So it was like a loophole to make you pay less money for the carbon.
If you own a land in Israel, but what if you have a small land, very small land?
Yeah, but you still had 10%, whatever you earned, had to be taken to Yerushalayim. What's the difference? So if you supplement that with your regular money, so then you have enough to buy a carbon.
So we do this 3 times a year?
Yeah. Because every 3 times a year, they had to go up to the Beis Hamikdash to bring a carbon.
Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot.
Right. Not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
And let's say the person was very wealthy. They have to spend more on a nicer carbon.
That was the end of the Mishnah. A guy that has a lot, he says, you give kamat nasyadah kivirka sashem alakach. You give as much as you can give. Now, obviously, he couldn't waste an animal. Right. Because when you bring a carbon, you can't leave over the meat uneaten.
You eat all of it yourself or you give some to the Kohen?
Shlomim is eaten by three people. God, the person, and the Kohen. Hi.
David,
a little home.
I thought the Master Sheni, when you transfer the money to Yerushalayim, you have to buy fruit over there.
You have to buy food, not fruit.
Not fruit?
Any food.
But the whole point was the fruit that you couldn't bring.
Yeah, but the din is, the din was, once you bring the money, you didn't have to buy fruit in Yerushalayim. You could buy any food.
Any kind of
food. Any food. So you could buy a carbon. The only question before the Gemara asks, you're not allowed to buy a carbon from holy money. You could only buy it from regular money. So Gemara says, you're right, you supplement it. You supplement it. But one opinion says, you could supplement money to buy a big animal. One opinion says, you could supplement animal to animal. And all of a sudden, the Gemara asks, we have a third opinion here, that you could do either one. So how could that be? So the Gemara says, if you're telling that only Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish are arguing, but Masnita Lepligi is not even arguing on a Braisa, the Gemara says, but it says in a Braisa, Achila Rishayna Min Achula. The first eating has to be from non-holy money. So how could you do it? So the Gemara answers, May Achila, what does eating mean? Shir Demei Achila Rishayna Min Achula. The Gemara thought that the Braisa, when it says the first eating, meant the first animal has to be from chulin, from unconsecrated money. The Gemara answers, it doesn't mean the first animal. The first eating that you eat from an animal, for the carbon, that has to be chulin. But you can buy the animal with both money. In other words, you need to, the first bite should be considered as if you bought that first money, first meat, from the unconsecrated money. From the chulin money. But then there's no problem. So we have three opinions in the Gemara. When you need to buy a carbon shlomim. Oh, I just didn't finish the point I was saying before. You're not allowed to leave over the meat of a carbon after the allotted time that the Torah allows you to eat it. Certain carbonis you ate for a day and a night. Certain carbonis 2 days and a night. But you can't leave it over past the allotted time. It's a sin. So a guy just can't be very rich and buy 10 animals and nobody to eat it. What's he going to do? I mean, he can't. So he can't just spend the money. He could give it to...
You can't throw it away either. You
got to
burn it.
No, you got... Well, it's a sin to leave it over. And then if you do leave it over, you have to burn it. But it's a sin to leave it over. You can't leave it over with the intent of burning it. Now, obviously, he can share it with other people. You know, whoever he wants can... But... So, again, the reason why it was called shlomim, from the word shalom, which is peace. The carbon shlomim made peace between everybody. In every carbon, there's three things involved. God, the Kohen, and the person. Right? Now, a lot of carbonis, a lot of sacrifices, only the altar ate, meaning God ate, and only the Kohanim ate. Sin offerings, the owner got nothing from. The Kohanim got, and the Mizbeah got. So God got, and the Kohanim got. Korban Shlomim was one of the few Korbanis that everybody got. The Mizbeah got, so God was happy, so to speak. The Kohanim got, so they're happy. And the owner who brought it is happy.
But different parts to different.
Yeah, different parts, sure. But the bulk of the meat of the carbon shlomo was allowed to be eaten by anybody.
That's why Kohanim had all this special their own disease.
Kohanim had
overeating meat,
yeah. And they used to walk barefoot on the stone floor of the Beis Hamikdash, so they got sick with colds.
Winter is cold.
Yeah.
But let's say, like, someone has, I mean, for a wealthy person, if he has a lot of meiser to give, then he's gonna have a lot of animals. I mean,
you know about meiser behemer, meiser behemer you give as a carbon.
Oh, but he has to eat it.
We say before davening in his Elma Kaiman. Who? Who?
Ezra ben Yitzchak.
Okay. Yeah. Habachar v'amayse v'apesach. Okay. Firstborn animal, you have to bring it to the carbon. Only to the mizbeh. Only the kohen made it. Meiser, when you brought meiser behema, any person was allowed to eat it. You didn't have to be a kohen to eat it. Now the kohen were able to share it with their families. But meiser behema, if somebody had, let's say, 100 animals, let's say they were very wealthy, they had 1,000 animals that year born. Okay, so they have to give 10%. So it's 100 animals. You have to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash and they have to be makrivit on the Mizbeach. But you're able to feed everybody with it. But they had to eat it in Yerushalayim. You couldn't go home to Tzvas and eat the karbonis.
All in one night they have to eat it?
No.
How long?
It says every animal is different. So the Bukhar and the Meister, it says B'chol ha'ir, anywhere in the city, B'chol ma'ichu, with any food, for 2 days and one night.
They had 100 animals, they have to do it all in 2 days?
Not him. He could give it out to people in Yerushalayim. Don't worry, when there's food, there's Jews. Don't worry about it.
And that food was tasty.
It was good meat. You kidding?
No preservatives.
Is that was in the Sukkot time, or it was earlier?
Whenever they had to bring it, whenever they brought it. They didn't have to.
Usually, it's one. Sukkot, no?
What?
Fruit. I mean, when they.
Yeah, but the animal, say ma'aser behema, they didn't have to bring whatever.
Ma'aser
sheni, whenever they harvested, was after Sukkot. So every time after Sukkot, they brought it.
But didn't most people bring it to the Beit HaMikdash when it was on the galaxy, so they wouldn't have to travel so far? Let's say
it depends how far they live. So sometimes, like over here, the Gemara is talking about saving the Meiser Sheni money to buy Korbanos on the Yom Tov. But sometimes the guy didn't have to do that. He could have just gone to the Beis HaMikdash. It depends where he lived, you know what I mean? It depends how far they live, how busy he was. I mean, it was a lot of things involved. Okay, now the Gemara starts a new piece of Gemara. Amr Ula. Okay. Ula says, when Chesem mit Beis, even where the Tesis says Chesem Makriv here, even with that in the Gemara. Okay. Amr Ula, Amr Ishlakish, Ula said the name of Ishlakish. Hifrish Esse Behemis Tachi Gigasi. What happens if a person designated 10 animals for his carbon chagiga? Like we said, he had a lot of people to feed or whatever. He had 10 animals. Hekrev chamesh b'yom tov harishon. If he brought 5 on the first day of Yom Tov, chayze o makrev chamesh b'yom tov sheni. He could bring another 5 on the second day Yom Tov. Let me just give a brief introduction to what's going on over here in the Gemara. Because Rabbi Yechanan holds, you can only bring one day and that's it. What it means is as follows. You have a mitzvah. Let me just give another. You're not allowed to add to mitzvahs. That means if you have to do it once, you can't do it twice. Okay? You can't do a mitzvah twice. You're adding to mitzvahs. The Torah says you have to bring a karbon chagiga. Once you brought it, you fulfilled your obligation. Now if I bring it another day, I'm adding to a mitzvah. The Torah says, what are you adding to me? You're not allowed to add on to mitzvahs. So now the question is, a guy dedicated 10 animals to bring for his sacrifices, for the Karbon Chagiga, right? Which is an obligation. The Torah says, you have to bring a Karbon Chagiga. You're not allowed to come and see God empty-handed. So now the question is, I dedicated 10 animals, and I brought 5 on the first day, and now I'm bringing 5 on the second day. Am I doing the mitzvah twice? You can't do a mitzvah twice. So I can give an example. You can't have 2 mezuzahs on your doorpost. It's a sin to have 2 mezuzahs on your doorpost. Why? Because the Torah says you need one mezuzah. You're putting two, it's adding. The Torah says you need tzitzis four corners. If somebody makes five tzitzis instead of four, he's getting a sin. Which, by the way, is an interesting halacha. What happens if you have a five-cornered garment? Or a six-cornered garment? And you make more than four tzitzis, you put on each corner, you put another tzitzit, you're getting a sin. Because the Torah says four, and the Torah means four, not five, and not three. You know how to add mitzvahs, now to take off mitzvahs. One second. So now over here, the question is, the Torah says you have to bring a korban chagiga once. So if you're bringing all 10 animals together, so that's one korban chagiga, you know, which is 10 animals, but you're doing one mitzvah. But if you're going to bring five one day and five another day, the Reish Lakish says, you are allowed to. And we'll see in the Gemara why. Rabbi Yechanan says, Kivin Shepasik, once he stopped, Shuv Eina Makiv, he can't bring any more.
Stop for how long?
For a day. That means once you finish the day, you can't bring another five the next day. Now what do you want?
I was asking about the adding to mitzvahs. Some people wear like many talit katans.
That's not adding to mitzvahs. No. The Torah says every garment that's four cornered needs tzitzis. So if you have 10 garments, you need to wear tzitzis. And each one. But the Torah says each garment should have four tzitzis, not five. And not three. Right? So if somebody puts five tzitzis on one garment that the Torah says only needs four tzitzis, and you make a fifth, you're getting a sin.
If it has five corners, you just put four?
Yeah. Because if you put five, you're getting a sin.
So Rabbeinu says if you have a four corner,
because
you
the Torah
corners.
Says four corners.
Okay.
If you have an eight corner garment, 10 corner, whatever, you put on the most outer corners. Whatever the most outer corner, that's what you put the four tzitzis. The logic, by the way, people ask a question, you know, I understand not taking off mitzvahs makes sense. The Torah says four, you can't do three. The question, if the Torah says four, why can't they do five? Five is better than four. So the answer is, the mushroom which is given is like medicine. You have an illness, the doctor prescribes medicine. And the doctor says, take the pill three times a day. Right? So we know if you take it once a day, it's not going to work. And if you take it 20 times a day, it's going to kill you. So the question is, if medicine is good, it's healing you, why can't I take it 20 times a day? I've got to just pop, you know, keep overdosing. The answer is, because things which are very important have to be very exact. Too much and too little is no good. In scientific experiments also, you know, things have to be exact amounts. You make it too much, it could explode the whole thing. Too little, you know, whatever it is, has to be exact. What? No, I thought you wanted to say something. Okay. So seemingly, there's an argument between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish if you're allowed to bring it 2 days or only 1 day. So Amar Rababa, Rababa says, V'lei pligi. They're not even arguing. There's no argument between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. They both say the same thing. What does it mean? Kan, b'sosam, b'stam, Rabbi Yechanan's ruling is that you cannot bring it, is only when designated animals, without specifying that they're going to be brought the first day. And I'll explain this in a second. Kan b'mefarish. But if you say clearly you're going to bring them on the first day, then you're allowed to bring them the second day. But the Gemara is, by the way, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. But the statement of Rabbi Abba is very simple. Rabbi Yechanan says you cannot bring them 2 days, only 1 day. And Reish Lakish says you can bring them both on the same day. I mean, you can bring them both in 2 days. They're not arguing. Depends what the case is. If the person specifies, I will bring them in 1 day, and the chance didn't come up, then he could bring them the second day. But if a guy didn't specify he's bringing them the first day, and then he brings one and some on the first day, some on the second day, then it looks like he's adding to mitzvahs. I'll give you an example. It's very simple. The Gemara is going to explain very simply. If a guy said, I want to bring them all in one day, but there was no time. There's no time to do it in one day. Okay, because korbanos you have to bring during the day. It was a busy day in the Beis HaMikdash. All the Jews are there. It's busy, hectic. You couldn't finish it. So now when you bring it the second day, it's not that you're adding a new mitzvah. It's just a continuation of what you didn't, we weren't able to accomplish on the first day. So you're not adding on to the mitzvah. I didn't finish the mitzvah yet. But if a person doesn't specify he's going to bring him one day, that means as far as he's concerned, he's going to bring him twice. That already is adding on to the mitzvah. But if a guy was going to do it right, and he just didn't have a chance to finish, and he's going to finish it the second day, he's not adding to the mitzvah of bringing it twice. This is a continuation of the first day that he didn't have a chance, an opportunity. Yeah. No, no, it's between him and God.
But doesn't the pasuk say that you have to bring him the first day of the Yom
Tov? No.
Where do you learn that you have to bring him the first day of the Yom
Tov? You had all 7 days to bring it. Yet Shiva Simei Tashlumim. The Gemara says it was physically impossible for all the Jews to bring all the korbanos in one day. In fact, even Shavuos, which in Eretz Yisrael is one day, so the Gemara says, they still have what's called Shivas Yimei Tashlumim. They had 7 days after Shavuos, 6 more days after Shavuos, to bring the korbanos for Shavuos. Because it was impossible physically. Yet all the Jews came up to Eretz Yisrael, all the male, right? Came out to, you know how many Jews you had to bring korbanos? It's impossible.
7 days.
There weren't that many Jews, and many people share things together. You know, an animal is for a lot of... How much meat can you eat? You can eat a quarter pound of meat.
Each Jewish male has to bring a quarter, right?
You can eat 2 pounds a day, 3 pounds
so
a day.
Okay, 1 minute. 2 pounds a day. How many pounds is an animal? A few hundred.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small animal. No? So you can eat 2 pounds of meat a day. But if an animal has... Let's say even after you take away the fats and the bones.
Well, it depends if you drink it with mashke, eat it with mashke or not.
Then you could drink more, eat more.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, it washes it down better. No, but make a cheshbon. Let's say after all is said and done, let's say you had 100 pounds of meat in a behemoth, of meat. Yeah, probably had more. But let's say you had 100 pounds. That's 50 people. I mean, so an animal is good for 50 people. Right, I'm saying. So I'm saying, if you brought a bigger carbon, so then... A carbon could be anything. It could be a sheep, it could be a bull. Carbon Pesach.
No camel.
No donkeys either. Carbon Pesach had to be.
Yeah, but the guy had massive shiny, let's say, worth $1,000.
No.
How is he going to spend $1,000 if he's not
going to
eat it?
He leaves it for the people, then you shall eat.
Well, you have to make sure it's eaten.
What he would do is, they would buy food with the money, which they had to do, and then they would sell the food cheaply to the people that lived in Yerushalayim.
Who sent it?
Who bought it?
If I had... Thanks for permission. Well, what would I do without you?
Look at that, all these nice people you have.
I know, and you ruined it. Sit down.
I ruined it?
They're all nice people.
Oh.
If a guy had, let's say, $1,000 Maisa money,
right.
Either he sold the money for cheap.
Sold it.
What can he do with the money in Yerushalayim?
Yeah,
but he's going
to
eat $1,000 of what? He's going to stay there for a year. So what does he do? Either he buys food with the money, $1,000 worth of food, and then he sells it to the people of Yerushalayim for cheap. Because he has to get rid of it. Right? So he sells it to them and they eat it for cheap.
What's he going to do with the money he gets from it?
That money is already not holy anymore. That money he sold, the food becomes holy. That has to be eaten in Yerushalayim and the money not.
How can you sell korban?
No, that korban. Maisa Sheni is fruit. Or money of fruit. So to hear the Gemara saying you could supplement karbonis with the Maisa Sheni money. But the people in Yerushalayim had a lot of bargains. Their budget, their lifestyle of food was very cheap. If a guy brought Maisa Behema, right? A guy had 100 animals, let's say Maisa Behema. It has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And the guy doesn't live in Yerushalayim. So what would he do? He would sell it to the people in Yerushalayim, let's say. Or give it to them for free, whatever. Right? Or he would, you know, whatever it was. So they got a lot of metzias.
What's a Maisa Behema? Behema is a donkey, I know that. What's a Maisa Behema?
Maisa Behema is when you tithe your animals.
A what?
Tithing your animals. 10% of your animals.
Well, you're tithing, oh.
You verstehst nicht in English?
Do we know the main reason of Maisa Sheni, what Hashem gave us?
Just to show gratitude to Hashem.
Not that he didn't put any limit. Oh, okay.
10% is the limit. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma, every year, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, every year his Maisa Behema was thousands of animals. Every year, that means his herd gave birth to so many animals that his tithing, the 10%, was thousands of animals.
So you have to slap them all away?
Yeah.
What did he do with all the money?
What, not Maisa Behema. No. Only Maisa Sheni. Maisa Behema. By the way, Maisa Behema, like we learned in the Gemara, wasn't, okay, I have 1,000 animals, I take 100 and go. It doesn't work like that. Maisa Behema, the Gemara says, it has to go through Kol Asher Yaveh Tachas Hashaveh to Asiri Yakedesh Hashem. The animals have to be marched through a pen, through a stall, one by one. And you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 10th one, we learned before in the Gemara, you hit it with a red stick. It gets a red mark on it. That animal is the korban. Then you have to march through another 9 animals and hit the 10th one again. It has to be, each animal has to be proclaimed the 10th.
Kosher animal? Or
kosher animals. Okay. Kosher. What?
Today we do the tithing with money. We do like, or Meister with money, right? So did they do...
No, 1 second. You do not know it's all in America. Well, no, today you have to tithe fruits and nuts all too.
Right. But in those times, did they have to do Meister with their money too and get to the...
Trust me, they gave away more than 10% with all this stuff.
What about chickens and stuff?
For what?
We don't tithe those.
No.
Just behemoths.
Just behemoths. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "Hai stam hechidami." What does it mean that you didn't specify the animals that you're going to do it on the first day? So he says, "Ilei medaleka shoyz b'yom likadiv." If you're telling me there was not enough time on the first day of Yom Tov to bring all the animals, so he says, "Hai dalei akrivino." The reason he didn't bring it, the leka shoyz b'yom, there's no time left to during the day, but it doesn't mean he wants to do 2 mitzvahs. There's just not enough time left. Ela yizhi masay. The Leslie Eichlin. He didn't have enough people to eat it on the first day. So he says, then the reason he didn't bring it was because he didn't have enough people to eat it either. So again, then the second day is only a continuation of the first day. It doesn't look like he's doing another mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Yitzirichet speaking, the Ikur Shores B'yayim, there is time during the day to bring more animals. And there's food and there's people to eat it. That means there's no reason why the guy shouldn't continue bringing animals on the first day. But he says, the fact that he didn't bring them on the first day, when he could have, and there was no reason why he didn't, it looks like he's leaving them over for the second day, and then he's adding on to the mitzvah. You know, the Gemara is saying very simple. If there was no time or not enough people to eat it on the first day, then you're allowed to bring it on the second day. Because you're not adding to the mitzvah, making a new mitzvah on the second day. You just didn't finish the first day. But if you had enough time to bring all the korbanos on the first day, plus you had enough people to eat the korbanos, why didn't you bring the korbanos? Because you want to make 2 mitzvahs out of it. That is called adding on to a mitzvah.
Oh, they shechted in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash?
Mm-hmm.
And who shechted? The people themselves or Kohanim?
The shechita did not have to be done by a Kohen. Usually, practically speaking, it was done by a Kohen. But the shechita, the Gemara says, Ksheda Bezod. A Yisrael can shech the carbon if you know how.
In Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
They gave him all the utensils to hang it and all that?
Then the Kohenim did the rest.
Oh, they did.
No, only Shechita, because the sprinkling of the blood and all that, that had to be done by the Kohanim.
Is there a pasuk that says that it can be done by the person bringing the Korban?
Yeah, because if you look in Vayikra, Rashi quotes this, and by the way, in Chumash, in Vayikra, the pasuk says, you bring the animal and you shecht it, and then it says the Kohen receives the blood. So when does the Torah start talking about the Kohen? By the resprinkling of the blood.
Can they mix different animals' bloods in one bucket?
I remember all these
demons. What did the Kohen do with the blood when he got it?
But they had to. He can't bring so many buckets of all these different animals.
No, they had to take a certain amount of blood and sprinkle that on. The rest of the blood was thrown away.
They had to put it in the bucket and stir it till they get the...
Oh. No, right away the Kohen in the spoon was moving it, that it shouldn't
congeal.
Good, doctor. It shouldn't congeal. And then they would sprinkle on the Mizbech. And there was as the Gemara explains in Midas, how did they clean out the Shechita room with the Mizbech room was full of blood. So they had an irrigation system. They used to wash out the blood, and it went down into a certain
grooves or channels.
Yeah, out of the Beis HaMikdash, and it went into a field outside Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says that field was extremely fertile land because blood has a lot of nutrients in it. It's a very good fertilizer. So the blood went out to a field, but they couldn't leave all the blood in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to wash it off. So they washed it out and it irrigated out of the Beis HaMikdash. And that field that it went to was a very good field. Yeah. They didn't shecht people, though.
Right, that's true. Don't we have one altar for all this burning, right?
Yeah.
So there are thousands of animals in one day on one altar?
During the year, they weren't that busy.
But let's say on the holidays.
In fact, the Gemara discusses that if the Mizbeach wasn't busy, what happens if it was a slow day? The Gemara says it didn't look right that the Mizbeach wasn't working. That there was no action on the, like, oh, nobody's interested in God today, you know? So the din was, if there were no karbanis that people brought, the Kohanim would just take animals, shecht them, and do the procedure. Just that the Mizbeach should look occupied because it was disrespectful that the Mizbeach was not working.
Who would be watching them? People?
Huh?
The people? Outside the Mizbeach?
Who? I didn't hear what you said.
Who would be watching them? Who would be watching these people?
Doesn't matter. Just the fact that Mizbech is not working. It's not respectful.
Wouldn't it be going on every day?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying usually they were busy. But I'm saying what happened... Listen, in the olden times you sinned, you had to bring a carbon. Mm-hmm. Okay, a guy had a miracle happen to him, you had to bring a carbon taida. You had a b'chor, a maizam, you had all these various carbonists that you had to bring.
Did the Quranim had a special fund for those animals that they brought?
Public money. People would donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. People donated objects to the Beis HaMikdash. Certain things they sold, and they would buy kobanis with it. I mean, there was a whole system going on there.
When you dedicate, somebody dedicated their homes to it.
So then they would sell the home and use the money for different things in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't forget, the Beis HaMikdash had expenses. They had to upkeep it. Okay, they didn't have electric bills. But they had oil bills. They had... Kohanim didn't get paid, the wood and the Mizbeah, I mean, there were things that had to buy, the Kalim they had to buy, I mean, there were things they had to spend money for.
I'm a little confused here.
Good.
Here we're talking about the Shalmei,
yeah.
Did you say that the Torah specifies, it doesn't specify that you have to bring it on the first day, or does it? It does not. So I don't understand the basic idea. Why can't you bring it on the second day?
You could. But if you brought it on the first day, you can't bring it again on the second day.
Why not?
Because then you add the Torah says bring it once. Why are you bringing it twice?
It says you have to bring it once.
Torah says you have to bring it, do it once. So what are you doing it twice for?
So maybe once means the whole that once.
Duration of 7 days.
Yeah, but the Torah says you can only do it once. You can't bring one on one day and then one on another day, because then you're bringing two.
No, I'm bringing it in one moed, in 1 7-day period.
Yeah, but you can only bring it once in one moed period.
But you have once in that moed. I have 7 days to do that once.
Day. Right, but you can't bring once on the first day and once again on the second.
I don't understand. It's once in a moed.
Right.
I have 7 days to
but,
do it.
But once throughout the 7 days. You're doing it twice in 7 days. You only could do it once. Now you could bring 10 animals at one time.
You just said you can't do it.
Exception? That's
yeah,
exception. Yeah.
Oh, the exception is that if you were supposed to bring in the first day and you didn't have enough time or there were not enough people to eat it, so then you could bring it the second day. But you didn't have an opportunity to bring the first day. Why? Because it's not like you're doing it twice. It's just you didn't finish the first one yet.
But you can use the same argument there too.
Why? But if there was enough time to bring all your animals the first day, and you had enough people to eat it, but you decided, I'm going to bring more tomorrow. That is adding to the mitzvah, because it, likes you doing, it looks like you're doing a new mitzvah.
But if you brought 10, and you didn't have time to shift the whole thing, the whole 10...
Then you could bring more the next day.
The next
right. And that's what the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish are not arguing. What's the din? If I brought 5 the first, if I have 10, can I bring 5 and 5? One opinion says, one opinion says no. So the Gemara said they're not arguing. If you could have brought them all on the first day, and you didn't, then you're not allowed to bring them the second day. But if you couldn't bring them the first day, and you want to continue bringing them on the second day, you're allowed to. It's not... You have to do them all one day.
So even though it's 5 and 5, it still adds up to 10, which is the, you're not adding.
So the kavanah,
right.
Intention is
right.
Important. There, right?
The intent is very important.
Kavanah.
You can't add to a mitzvah, that's all.
You said that if you say in your mind that you want to bring it on the first day, and you cannot do it, then can you bring it on the second
yes.
day?
Yes,
you
could. Yeah. Because you didn't finish.
You specify that in which day you wanted to bring it in, and then it takes you 2 days to bring it.
Then it's no good.
Then it's no good.
Right.
And the reason is?
Because it looks like you're doing the mitzvah twice. You can't do a mitzvah twice. When the Torah says only do it once.
But you're saying it's not good because you didn't specify. Not because you couldn't. See, there, you're using two different reasons there.
But the question is, are you adding or are you just continuing what you didn't finish?
Intent and ability.
Intent has a lot to do with it. You know that you can disqualify a carbon with thought?
No, we say what I don't
if a carbon, when he shachs the carbon... One second. A carbon has to be eaten for a certain period of time, some a day and a night, some 2 days and a night. Pigel is, if a carbon thinks at the time of the shechita, I'm going to eat it 3 days later. That thought disqualifies the carbon. The question is, I didn't do anything, I just thought. If you have a wrong thought at the time of bringing the carbon, that you're going to eat it after the time the Torah says you're allowed to eat it, you passel the carbon. You invalidate the carbon. So intent is very important by Kabbanis. You can't intend to eat it after the time. You can't intend to eat it in the wrong places. You have to, intent is very important. And the intent by Kabbanis could disqualify and invalidate the carbon.
Is a carbon a mitzvah?
Carbon of sacrifice is a mitzvah, yeah. I understand let's finish see the Gemara. Achanam mistab, the Gemara, so I'll even prove it to you. Why? Because Rabbi Yechanan just got through saying that you cannot bring 5 and 5. Yeah? Yet, he also said, Abin Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael. And he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, if somebody brought 10 animals for his carbon, he brought 5 on the first day, he could bring 5 on the second day. So the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Rabbi Yechanan is contradicting himself. Here Rabbi Yechanan said if you brought 5, you can bring 5 the second day. And here Rabbi Yechanan says you can bring 5 and 5. So the answer is what we just said. The Biyach and the Shlokish are not arguing. It depends what you wanted, what you thought. If you wanted to bring them all in one day, and you didn't have the opportunity to finish, then you could bring them the second day. When does Rabbi Yechonah say you can't? If you had enough time to bring them on the first day, and you had enough eaters to eat it on the first day, you just decided not to, then you're not allowed to. And the Gemara says, it manami, so we taka learned, Amar of Shemin bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yechonah, Lai Shano, this whole din only applies, the Lai Gama, when they didn't finish, on the first day. Aval Gamar, but if he finished, meaning, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means, Chayzer the Makar, if you can finish the second day. So the Gemara says, my Gamar, what do you mean finished? Ilemer Gamar Kabanaisav, if you said he finished the Karbanis and the first day, so what does he want to bring the second day? Elosh Le Gamar Ayim means the day didn't finish, meaning you didn't have enough time during the day. Aval Gamar Ayem, but the day it finished, before he had a chance to bring his karbonis, Chayzer Makiv, he can bring another karbon. So again, the Gemara is saying the same thing. If the day didn't allow you to finish, then you can continue on the next day. If not, you can't. That's what the Gemara's conclusion. In fact, now to continue the next Mishnah, because we have a few minutes yet, the Mishnah is continuing this concept. Mishlechag b'yom teverishin shochag. A guy did not have an opportunity to bring the Karbon Chagig on the first day of Yom Tov. He didn't have the opportunity. What should he do? The Mishnah says, Chagig es kol haregel. You can bring it for the whole Sukkis, for the whole Yom Tov. And Yom Tov ha'achron shel Chag. You can even bring it Shmini Atzeres. That means even though Shmini Atzeres is seemingly a separate Yom Tov, it's still and the Gemara is going to learn out where we learned it out from. It's still a continuation to Sukkot. Day. Now, what happens if the Yom Tov went by and you didn't have a chance to bring your carbon? You're not obligated and responsible. Meaning, too late. You blew it. You missed it. You can't make it up. No, that's only Pesach Sheni. You're not Yotzei. In other words, it's too late. It says, "Alzeh Namar Mu'uves." Shlomo HaMelech says a pasuk, "Mu'uves LeYochel Iskein." A crooked thing cannot be straightened. V'chisaron, and something which is lacking, LeYochel Imnas cannot be counted. Meaning, it's something you can't make up.
So, like God forbid, you miss someone miss Kriyat Shema in the morning.
He
wasn't on time, so you can't make it up for that.
Not here, but in a different Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara says the same pasuk about that. If a guy missed a whole day of tefillin, or he read the Shema in the wrong time, so you can't make it up tomorrow. If a guy doesn't put on tefillin today, he can't make it up by putting on tomorrow twice, because it's gone, it's finished. So the Gemara says, if you didn't bring the carbon the first day of the Yom Tov, if you have all 7 days, or by Sukkot, you even have the eighth day to do it. If you didn't bring it at all, the Gemara says, tough luck. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says, no. That's not what this pasuk refers to. He says, what does this pasuk refer to? Za'abo ala erva, a guy who committed adultery, v'herled mimana mamzer, and he gave birth to a mamzer. Now, how in the world are you going to do tshuva? The mamzer is still running around.
I'm going to correct it.
Right. So he says, that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. But it's interesting, because they bring down over here, the Mefarshim ask a question. Here, the Meral asks a question that Tshuva always helps. And this, that the Gemara, the Mishnah says you can't rectify it, means if you didn't do Tshuva. There's a lot of stories, if you want to read, it's called the Coachman, but there's a story that a guy created a mamzer. It was really not a mamzer, it was a kid from a non-Jewish woman, and he did such a level of Tshuva that the kid was killed in an accident.
Oh my God.
In other words, the tshuva was so great, it got rid even of the mamzer, so to speak, of the guy that he created, it got rid of it. And said, Rav Shimon ben Nasi continues. He says, Im taimad, begayne fegayzel. If you're talking about stealing, you can always make it up. You return what you stole. Yachul achziri, can give it back. Rav Shimon ben Yechai says no. That's not what Shlema Melech is referring to. What is called mu'uvah is a sin that you can never rectify. Let me show you mesukim betchila, a guy who was fixed, meaning good, straight, in the beginning, and then he became crooked. In other words, the pasuk says, it's somebody who became crooked you can't fix. Which means, he was once straight, then he became crooked, and that you can't fix. So the Bishimon Yechai says, if the guy was an illiterate his whole life, he was crooked his whole life. So therefore he says, it refers to a Talmid Chacham, ha-peirish min ha-teira. A Talmid Chacham, who turned away from Teira, he was a straight guy, who became crooked, and the Shlomo Melech said, that already you can't fix. But a guy who was ignorant, he could do tshuva, he could fix it. It's not a problem. Okay?